It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 13th day of July, Thursday the 13th, 2023. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, and the great globe round. And whatever time it is when you're listening to the podcast. And if, in fact, you are listening to the podcast, well, please like it, subscribe to it, follow it, love it, however they designated it on whatever media platform, podcast platform you're on. Leave a comment for the algorithms. It makes me and Brother Deacon Asa and the lonely little algorithms all happy when you do that. And that one of the best things in the world you can do to help us grow the program, because this isn't some sort of little social club, is to share the podcast itself on your social media, on your Facebook page, on your, if you're on Twitter, or, you know, however else you connect with the cyber social world, I guess. Hi, I'm Robin, and it is Thorn in the Side Thursday here on The Horn. And but before we jump into all of that, every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And so we say thank you to our 13th day of the month subscribers, and that means big thank yous. Big thank yous to Gary and Gaia out in Oregon. And thanks as well to Paul. Thank you so much. And thank you to Cecilia for jumping in yesterday. After the program, that means the fundraising goal is down to $1,275 to come up even with right where we are right now, almost halfway through the month of July, and we will be past halfway by the time Moran Monday rolls around. So let's see, at $1,275, yeah, that means that Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Monday are unfunded, as is $75 of last Friday on the front porch. Okay? But thank you to all of you who keep this program going. It would not exist without your determination that it so do. And, of course, if you're listening live, pop by the chat room. Early arrivers, Theo and Squeaky, are waiting there to hang out and cuss and discuss. And they are capably moderated by Horn Chief Agronomist and Chief Mathematician and Bud Trimmer Emeritus, Roger, in Oregon. Oh, let's see. Where shall we begin? Because, well, we're looking for things that make you go, ooh! Thorny little nasty buggers for the day. I like this one. They had themselves another hearing in the House Judiciary Committee. And it's gotten bad enough now, and we'll get into just how bad it is here in a minute in the weaker speakers, House of Representing, the House of Bedlam. So today, there was a hearing with the chair of the Federal Trade Commission, Lena Khan, and Jerry Nadler, fresh out of Fox to Give, did everything he could to publicly embarrass Jim Jacket Off Jordan in a sort of preemptive fashion. This is what I mean.
With that, I would yield to the gentleman from New York, the ranking member, for an opening statement.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And once again, there's Jim Jacket Off Jordan, his jacket, of course, off, because he cannot, because women get to wear pants in the Congress or something equally weird. You know, he's so manly and masculine with manly masculinity that he can't stand to have his broad, the Ohio State University wrestling man shoulders constricted by a navy blue blazer. Yeah. It's also a chicken shit little treason artist who begged for a pardon after his participation in the terrorist attack of January 6, 2021, but you know, who's counting? That's just any Republican, just about.
Chairman, Mr. Chairman, since you brought up Robert Bork, I must say that I have thought for the last 40 years that the court's unfortunate following of Robert Bork's doctrines, upending all prior understandings of antitrust law, has resulted in a terrible misinterpretation of antitrust law and is directly responsible for the overconcentration of industry and the power of big business in today's economy. Mr. Chairman, yesterday the director of the FBI sat at the witness table for nearly 6 hours, enduring a steady stream of baseless attacks and conspiracy theories meant to fit a far-right narrative that may resonate on Fox News, but that lacks any basis in fact. Today, it is the chair of the Federal Trade Commission's turn to step into the alternate universe that is the House Judiciary Committee under MAGA Republican leadership. Chair Khan, the last time you were here, you sat on this side of this table, helping to reinvigorate this committee's work on antitrust matters, and I thank you for your service to the committee. Unfortunately, I expect that today you will be the target of a barrage of personal attacks and wild accusations about the work of the FTC under your leadership. Republicans will tell us that the commission is wasting resources, but the FTC has returned over $430 million to consumers under your watch and is vigorously enforcing the laws that Congress has entrusted to it. Meanwhile, it is the House Republicans who have wasted untold congressional and staff and agency staff resources and millions of dollars in pursuing a fruitless search for evidence of misconduct at the FTC. The majority will also argue that the FTC's investigation into Twitter was politically motivated and conducted at the behest of congressional Democrats. This argument also has no basis in fact. Twitter has been in trouble for failing to adequately protect the privacy of its users for more than a decade. It has been subject to a consent decree on this topic since as far back as 2011. It came under a second consent decree last year. And given the haphazard conduct of its new owner, it may very well be subject to new scrutiny today. It is the FTC's duty to review compliance with these consent decrees, particularly when, as occurred last year, there are credible concerns that user data may have been compromised when the majority of its legal and engineering staff was fired. This work has nothing to do with the new owner of the company and his political views. Protecting user privacy is not political. Rushing to defend a company at all costs and investigating the agency that attempts to hold that company accountable merely because the new owner shares your political views is another matter. Ultimately, Chair Khan, you will face attacks today because you are doing your job, and that is what threatens Republicans the most. The Federal Trade Commission was created and charged with enforcing antitrust and competition laws to respond to a rise in consolidation across the market in the early 1900s. It helped bring down the trusts and lessen monopoly power, which strengthened the economy and helped support the formation of a strong middle class. Unfortunately, in recent decades, the executive branch took a radical turn away from enforcement of the antitrust laws that kept us safe and prosperous for nearly a century. That failure led to massive consolidation across the market that gave rise to a handful of dominant companies with the power to squash competition. The rise of monopolies and monopsonies in several fields was a boon to the corporate class, but it has been devastating to consumers, workers, and small businesses. This began to change when the Biden administration announced several steps to reinvigorate the enforcement of federal antitrust laws. By faithfully interpreting the original intent of the antitrust laws and the FTC Act to ensure fair competition and prices, the administration has announced that the party is over for large and unfettered corporations. And although most Americans welcome this change, and indeed our economy is booming and unemployment is at a historic low, the commitment to enforcing these laws has raised alarm among our Republican colleagues, so they have taken aim at your agency and the important work the FTC does to protect consumers and promote competition. I hope that my Republican colleagues will find it within themselves to put their baseless and often personal attacks on pause long enough to listen to the importance of your mission. In any event, I appreciate your appearing here today, and I appreciate the valuable work of the FTC. I look forward to your testimony, and I yield back the balance of my time.
Well, that was damning, wasn't it? He did everything except say that the House Judiciary Committee is a monkey house and that the poo is flying all around the room thanks to the maggots. But he wasn't wrong, and he pre-rehabilitated his witness, which he's pretty sharp. Good on him. And the best part was Jim Jackadoff Jordan had to sit there and listen to someone with considerable intelligence describe what a shit show he's rendered the House Judiciary Committee into. And if you want evidence of that, let's see, hold on here. Message coming in from Kay. Nadler. I thank you for your service to the committee. Somehow I don't think he actually meant that. Good to see the Dems continuing these fascist fucks, calling out these fascist fucks for who they are. The more people see that, the more hope we have of getting them the fuck out of the office, or at least a good number of them, because the stupids still have voting rights and privileges, too. Hope is a dangerous thing, Nadler, and don't expect the maggots to start siding with the people anytime soon, either. I think he did mean to say thank you. Are you talking about what he said to Chair Khan or to Jim Jackadoff Jordan? Anyway, if you wanted, not that we particularly need it, but this speaks to two different people. First of all, we know that Jim Jackadoff Jordan and his mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing, picking their teeth with their toenail clippings, maggot brothers and sisters there on the House Judiciary Committee, we know that they have no good intent. We know that they're a bunch of paranoids. We know that they're a bunch of pathetic lick spittles for Julius Geezer. We can take all of that, as the saying goes, as read. But, and as has been said of the Judiciary Committee, it's nothing more than a clip generator for Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. And so, yesterday evening came the announcement that none other than Rotted F.K. Jr., will be testifying before the Judiciary Committee on the weaponization of the federal government. Now, to this point, the maggots have yet to show any evidence whatsoever of, you know, a weaponized federal government. What they have demonstrated is that they are dumber than a box full of hammer handles, and that they've got a case of the raging paranoids that you generally only get after smoking way too much really bad reefer. So I guess it's natural that they invited Rotted FK to testify before them. The committee announced that the hearing will examine the federal government's role in censoring Americans, the Missouri v. Biden case, and big tech's collusion with out-of-control government agencies to silence speech. Which, if anybody was paying attention to FBI Director Christopher Wray yesterday, he made abundantly clear, is a thing that, and I don't want to put too fine a point on this, hasn't fucking happened. And the Federal Trade Commission didn't either. But of course they're going to call Rotted FK Jr. because he's perfect for their narrative. He's down the fucking rabbit hole. Crazier than a sprayed roach. And he said in a Fox News TV Radio Rwanda article, huh, convenient. What a coincidence.
I was the first person censored by the Biden administration.
Oh, where are you, Snookums? Oh, Dozums need a safe space, Rotted FK, Dozums.
I'm still being censored. We know the FBI is involved in that censorship, as well as a whole plethora of other federal agencies, because I'm running around out there trying to get black families killed by telling them that the COVID vaccine was the same as the Tuskegee experiment, and calling me out for saying that is censoring me.
So, as the article points out, the Associated Press article, he's been down the anti-vax rabbit hole for at least 15 years now. His own family says that the filthy lies that he regurgitates are misleading and dangerous. He will be blistered, hopefully, by the likes of Jerry Nadler. But that'll be some must-see, wacky-ass TV. Now, Rotted FK Jr. gave an interview to the New Yorker. And he's getting adoring coverage over in White Wing Media. As noted previously, he had a sit-down bromance with testicle-toasting Tuckio Rose Carlson. And on July the 7th, David Remnick of the New Yorker published a Q&A type interview with him. And Remnick said, if there is a madness, slight or otherwise, in Kennedy's bid, it is not confined to his hubris. He is roiling with conspiracy theories. SSRIs like Prozac might be the reason for school shootings. Vaccines cause autism. There are many. And you know the one that, the vaccines cause autism argument is the one that I find absolutely the most deplorable, the most hateful, the ugliest, the most vile. Because at the root of the argument that vaccines cause autism, which they don't, is an implicit statement that whoever believes that bilge would rather a child die, D-I-E, die, D-E-A-D, dead, B-U-R-I-E-D, buried in the G-R-O-U-N-D, ground, than be neurodivergent. And that is sickening. And it has more than a whiff of eugenics about it. Now, talking to Remnick, he said,
I'm a Kennedy Democrat. I believe in labor unions. I believe in a strong, robust middle class. I believe in racial justice, in policies that are going to actually help the lowest people on the totem pole.
The lowest people, huh? Totem pole, huh? Couldn't say rung of the ladder. You had to drag in a little bit of indigenous culture and ride on that for a bit. Did you, rotted FK? Did you? Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I've done that in the past. But I've also tried to grow and to learn. And I understand that cultural appropriation can take verbal forms as well as costuming. That was about as sane as Rotted FK got in his interview, though. Because pretty soon he was off and running, out in the weeds.
I want good testing with the vaccines, and I want good science. Well, you know, the scientists all, at one point, believed that the COVID vaccine prevented transmission. And I said, no, they don't prevent transmission, because I read the monkey studies in May of 2020, and I saw that the amount of the concentration of the virus in the nasal pharynx of the vaccinated monkey was identical to the unvaccinated monkeys. And I said, those vaccines should be dead in the water. I've read the science on autism. If autism didn't come from the vaccines, then where is it coming from?
You stupid, 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 stupid man. What if it turns out that neurodivergence is something that has been present in the human population for eons? What if it doesn't come from anywhere? What if some people's brains just work differently from other people's brains? Was it Einstein or Edison? Probably both, whose teachers thought they were complete idiots back when idiot was actually a mental health diagnosis. Right? But Rotted F. Kennedy would rather people die from preventable diseases, children die from preventable diseases, than be differently brained. And I try to resist talking about this so very much, but there's another little crypto something or another tucked away in that too, because as far as we can tell, there are certain differences in the brains of people like me versus people who are cis. And there is a statistically significant number of people who are like me who are also neurodivergent. That's why autism enters the anti-trans jihad in so many of these Republican efforts to erase us. God, they wish we just didn't exist. And that's kind of a rotten thing to wish about somebody. I mean, there's a word for people who, for instance, sit around and say things like, huh, I just wish the Jews didn't exist. There's a word for people who sit around saying, I just wish black people didn't exist. But for some reason or another, far too many people find it entirely easy to just wish people like me didn't exist. You know, there's a word for people who sit around wishing gay people didn't exist. And that's why there's a T in LGBTQ+. Because while gender is entirely different from sexuality, we endure a similar kind of hate. The thing is, since Obergefell, and before that, most everybody in this country has found out that they've got, they know somebody, probably love somebody, care about somebody who's gay. And so there's less social space for the people who sit around and wish gay people didn't exist. It is entirely unacceptable to wish black people didn't exist. And we won't hesitate to call someone who wishes Jews didn't exist a goddamn Nazi. So when Rotted FK talks about things that are causing autism, wow, that is what they call in gambling circles a tell. It tells you a lot about them. From the Horn Ad Hoc Albert Einstein Research Department, Steve lets us know, Albert Einstein, the most influential physicist of the 20th century, was dyslexic. He loved mathematics and science, but he disliked grammar and always had problems with spelling. And dyslexia is a... it's not the same thing as autism, but it is a neurodivergence. It is a divergence from what is neurotypical. And then the... okay, Kay. KK. There you go again, talking about all that woke science. Stop it. There's a word for that. Genocide, Kay says. The word you're looking for is genocide. And now I'm getting all depressed again. Sigh. Can't we just fucking exist for fuck's sake? And Theo adds, neurodivergence is not a blight or a curse. Hi, Robin. Hi, Theo. Someone whom I love intimately is demonstrably neurodivergent, which hasn't stopped them from becoming a mathematician, a chemist, and an acknowledged IT expert. Didn't dissuade me from marrying her either.
Oh.
That last part's just so wholesome. I love that. But you're right, Theo. It is just another way of being human. And so David Remnick was not going to just sit there and let Rotted FK blather his paranoid genocidal hate. He told him, vaccines have proved highly effective against the worst outcomes of COVID-19, including hospitalization and death. And the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has reported that widespread vaccination in a population reduces the spread of the virus. Didn't really matter in the long run, because Rotted FK is going to be Rotted FK. But with more and more information coming out about what a Lulu Rotted FK is. Going back, and we talked about this, going back to a podcast in June, when he claimed in a conversation, was it with Pink Shrek? Was it with Joe Rogaine? In which he said that endocrine disruptors are queering the frogs. Remember that was the day we talked about him moving in on Alex Jones's side of the street? Well, no small number of scientists have since weighed in and said, yeah, and endocrine disruptors are present in pesticides and plastics. And yes, endocrine disruptors can affect reproductive functions. They provide a risk of increased obesity, but there's not a shred of evidence that they affect human sexuality. See, anytime somebody like Rotted FK comes out and tries to explain some sort of external cause for why a couple of women fall in love or might want to get married or why a couple of guys do. Again, that's a tell. That they think it isn't just part of the human experience, but rather that it is in fact some sort of disease to be cured. And so, with the heat on, a spokescreep for Rotted FK said,
he's not claiming that endocrine disruptors are the only or main cause of gender dysphoria. He's merely suggesting that, given copious research on the effects on other vertebrates, this possibility deserves further research.
Yeah, because we have to figure out why this happens to us so that we can make sure we don't exist. Fucking genocide. Yeah, you remember.
If you expose frogs to atrazine, male frogs, it changes their sex and they can actually bear young. They can lay eggs, fertile eggs.
Try not to get too excited, Rotted.
And so the capacity for these chemicals that we're just raining down on our children right now to induce these very profound sexual changes in them is something we need to be thinking about as a society.
Oh, wait, no, they wasn't talking to Joe Rogaine. He was talking to Lobster Daddy, Jordan B. Peterson. And in a moment of making Aristotle spin in his grave, because this is not logic.
If atrazine is forcibly feminizing frogs, there's a lot of other evidence that it's doing to human beings as well.
And a scientist was there ready to deal with it. Professor Dr. Linda Kahn, who is at New York University and is in pediatrics and population health, said, you know, when you're running around comparing frogs to humans, you're doing some serious apples and oranges. She said it's not appropriate. Humans metabolize and excrete atrazine from the body within 12 hours. Frogs don't. They live in it. They're soaking in it. Thorny enough for you so far? Okay, everything's a tell. Are Kennedy and Alex Jones attracted to frogs? They sure are obsessed with them and their sexuality and gender identity. Oh, I know. Emilio. Stop censoring RFK Jr., Robin. Anti-Shillerian shill. He probably got polio vaccine as a child, and look what it's done to his voice and mind. Jill Stein was right! Wolverines! The sad thing is, every time Emilio sends me something sarcastic like that, I know that there's somebody out there in the United States of America who thinks it's true. We got to be careful about what we whisper into the ear of the universe, Emilio. Endocrine disruptors? Lee says their conclusions are more like dinner disruptors. Bon appetit, if you still can. I know, I know. Stop laying so many eggs, Robin. Neo sex transfrog gific shill. Emilio, you're going to give me a complex. Stop it. No, Billable, no. That isn't. No, no. Emilio does not get a cowbell for that. God, I'm getting bitchy about the cowbells. Oh, here, Emilio. Strictly on Billable Rick's recommendation, okay? You know who you have to thank for this. That was a cowbell over my protest. It's been a while since we've had any maggots running their yaps about Michelle Obama. Remember how they spent 8 years swearing she was a dude? Well, enter the man with the largest head on the planet, curiously full of helium, or, I don't know, spirochetes, thin gray settlings that slosh around and pass for brains. They're not passing very well. Charlie Kirk. Apparently, because remember what, two nights ago we had the clip of Royce White talking about, and Joy Reid running around wearing white women's wigs. Yeah, because Joy Reid's just running around snatching wigs. Oh, shut up. Because of the recent noxious and odious ruling handed down from our most puissant dread sovereign, Supreme Catholic Majesties, this has apparently occasioned Charlie Kirk. Email freedom@charliekirk.com. Dear Charlie, I am a Nigerian widow. It occasioned Charlie Kirk to start speculating about, well, among others, Michelle Obama and Joy Reid. Like I said earlier, you know, there's a word for people who wish black people didn't exist. Charlie Kirk is the poster child for that word.
You really have to wonder, in fact, you know, if we would have said 3 weeks ago, Blake, if we would have said that Joy Reid and Michelle Obama and Sheila Jackson Lee and Ketanji Brown Jackson were affirmative action picks, we would have been called the racist. But now they're coming out and they're saying it for us. They're coming out and they're saying, I'm only here because of affirmative action. Yeah, we know. You do not have the brain processing power to otherwise be taken really seriously.
I love it when a stupid white guy shows us just how stupid he is. He couldn't last 15 seconds in a discussion with Michelle Obama, Joy Reid, or Ketanji Brown Jackson. They would eat his lunch if he had a lunch to eat. But it's very easy to say this stuff when you don't have to be confronted about it. And bear in mind that he says this for attention. Once again, you know, his little grift is a money-making grift. Because that's his god. Mammon is his god, and he has to say things increasingly more stupid, increasingly more racist, increasingly more outrageous in order to keep his troll farm of mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing, toenail-clipping toothpickers engaged. Yeah, oh God, Charlie Kirk, says Kay. Thank God I already started drinking. Yeah, well, pity poor Odysseus here, lashed to the mast and having to hear the... He ain't no siren, Kay. Maybe a gummy would help. I don't know. No, no, no. There's nothing to do but do it. That's all. Hey, thanks, Bilbil. Thanks for getting us started. So we are down to 12:40. There's $40 to go, and we will have Last Friday on the Front Porch fully funded less than a week after Last Friday's Friday on the Front Porch. Thank you, Bilbil. Charlie Kirk continued, courtesy of Kay. How much you want to bet if Orange Asshole gets indicted again, he votes for Tim Scott in the general election? Don't put it past him. Well, hold on. Hold on, Kay. Do we have to? Do we need to go through this again? And that's no reflection on you. Nitwit Nero can have 1,000 indictments against him and still run for president. Just go. Is Lyndon LaRouche dead? I want to think he is. But I want to find out just so I can, yeah. There's Lyndon. Yep. Yeah, he gets a WAS. He died February 12th, 2019. Well, as dead zombie Lyndon LaRouche could explain to Nitwit Nero, it is perfectly legal to run for president whilst incarcerated in the joint. One of those little constitutional anomalies that the framers never really considered. And by the way, what the framers, you know, originalism, you realize that there really wasn't anything like a true penitentiary in the era when the framers were putting together the Constitution. We know that, right? The British were still transporting people. Off to Botany Bay with you. Botany Bay. Botany Bay. There's our Star Trek reference for the evening. My God. I just caught episode 3 of the second season of Star Trek Strange New Worlds. The show just keeps getting better. I mean, this episode was called The Lotus Eaters. And I went trying to... I'm going to get back to Charlie Kirk in a minute. Hold your horses. This is important. As we watched that episode last night, there was a reference. The episode took place on Rigel 7. And, of course, my little brain went, Rigel 7? Rigel 7? Because I'm pretty sure there's a reference to Rigel 7 in The Menagerie, you know, the only two-part original series, basically the series kickoff. And then I went trying to find The Menagerie, and it kept telling me it was on Paramount Plus, but no, hell no, it wasn't. Or maybe I just saw, maybe it is, and it was out of place, or I was thinking of it in the wrong place. But, Lee, you're kind of our Star Trek knower of Star Trek things. Isn't there a mention of Rigel 7 in The Menagerie? Or am I just imagining that? If you can sort that out, I'd appreciate it. Because, of course, Christopher Pike is at the center of The Menagerie. Anyway, it was really good. And we get a new episode this evening, and I'm stoked. Let's see. Kay, affirmative action and Charlie Kirk If Charlie Kirk is not just right-wing but correct, that means that Fappy Thomas needs to be removed from the court immediately, because while staying silent for nearly 10 years until the abortion cases came around where he spoke up liberally, it has come to my attention that Mr. Affirmative Action Thomas was hated by his Yale schoolmates because he was an asshole, not because he was black. Your buddy, Dave in the Blind. P.S. Charlie Kirk means disabled people, too, and that son of a bitch needs to be needs to realize that he's mentally disabled. I don't say that to pity him, merely to point it out. Oh, thank you, Ralph. Let's see. Rigel 7. Linky? Work, Linky. Work. Maybe, maybe I was wrong. Or not. What's that? Hi, Robin, says Lee. Yes, Rigel 7 is in the cage. That is where the battle took place. The Strange New World episode reminded me of the Cloudminders. Okay, so it wasn't the Menagerie. Jeremy says, since you mentioned Star Trek and Captain Pike, Charlie Kirk is a, wait for it, con! He's a C-O-N, not a K-H-A-N. No way does he have the brain power of Con Noonien Singh. No way. Just can't. No. But anyway, back to Chuckles.
You had to go steal a white person's slot to go be taken somewhat seriously. We know. We know. It's very obvious.
They stole white people's slots. And just what is it that makes it a white person's slot? You see, Charlie can't cope with that level of scrutiny. Because the minute you say a white person's slot, that means that you automatically think that black people don't belong in Harvard or the University of North Carolina. Or, you know, it won't be much longer before the maggots and our most puissant dread sovereign supreme Catholic majesties and Charlie Kirk and the rest of that toxic Nazi gang will be arguing that it's time to shut down the HBCUs. Which were founded only because century ago and more. All the white folks felt like people of color had no business in their beloved institutions of higher learning. Right? Yeah. Let me back up just a minute. SSRIs, because we were talking about rotted FK. Stephen New York writes, I know this is extremely personal, but every time, no matter who it is, I hear a person spew such bullshit about SSRIs, that's selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, I feel a compulsion to say the following. When I got my depression and anxiety diagnosis, I went on Zoloft, sertraline hydrochloride. The ability they gave me to stabilize my moods just to begin to address and deal with the depression and anxiety was a godsend. I went off Zoloft for a time because, as I told my doctor, I saw it was a crutch. I also remember what happened after that. Sobbing uncontrollably for no reason, the inability to even want to be happy. Simple living was an almost insurmountable mountain. I went back on it. I now take a different SSRI medicaments as better ones came onto the market. Until a person can tell me what it feels like to expend every bit of energy one has just to stay supine in their bed so as not to go to the window and jump, I have no patience for their anti-SSRI bullshit. I owe my life and my ability to function to SSRIs. Plainly stated, I cannot say with any certainty that I would be alive without them. Steve, I'm so glad you are. So glad you are alive. I know a little bit about your struggle. We've talked about it. And Steve's personal account is further proof of how ugly and how hateful, how nasty and how vile is the spirit and the toxically bad brain of people like Rotted FK. Thanks for being brave enough to send that along, Steve. I appreciate it. It means a lot. Emilio says, I use sertraline, Zoloft too. Maybe that's why I'm so crazy, is to think that Republicans are trying to ruin this country. I don't think that's crazy, Emilio. I think that's utterly, completely, totally, and undeniably sane. Clarence. Hey, Clarence. Affirmative action. The ill-informed and illiterate MAGA followers are under the impression that minority students are not as intelligent as white students. At the end of the day, all students take the same exams to graduate from institutions of higher learning. They do. But see, contained within the blatherings of Charlie Big Head Kirk is exactly what Clarence said. Well, you know, black kids, you know, they can't. And he's not. There's nothing new in this. Remind me, who is that toxic POS who wrote the book talking about that argued that various ethnicities are just naturally better at some things than others are, and they always go to the athletics among people of color. They cite the studiousness of Jews without ever taking a single moment to ponder the fact that people wind up pigeonholed into these things because those are the places where opportunities may be had in societies that bust their asses to make sure that the ordinary, everyday opportunities that are open and available to white people are not avenues that other ethnicities can travel because of the deliberate actions of the aforementioned white people. See how it works?
Obvious to us that you were not smart enough to be able to get in on your own. I couldn't make it on my own, so I needed to take opportunities from someone more deserving. You know, this is how arrogant Joy Reid and Ketanji Brown Jackson and Michelle Obama and Sheila Jackson Lee are.
Yeah, they're arrogant. Little Mr. White Supremacy here is claiming that people of color are too dumb to be at Harvard or Yale, Clarence. Never realizing that something like affirmative action works kind of this way. You have two people who are, for all intents and purposes, equal on paper. Yes, thank you, Steve, in New York. Charles Murray in the bell curve. Colonel Mustard in the conservatory with the rope. Yeah. But you can have two applicants who are equal on paper. Affirmative action says that it is probably a better choice to sometimes make sure that when one of those people who are equal is black, that you give the black person the slot because of, you know, four centuries of enforced economic and social injustice as an effort to right four centuries of wrongs. But Charlie here is channeling his inner George Wallace. Segregation today, segregation tomorrow, segregation forever.
They're so narcissistic, they think this is persuasive. Joy Reid is, without a doubt, the dumbest narcissist on television.
Says a guy who can't get a network gig.
And by the way, none of them believe in affirmative action. You're trying to tell me if Sheila Jackson Lee... Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard Flight 781 with nonstop service from Houston, Texas to Washington Reagan National Airport. I want to tell you that we have Sheila Jackson Lee on board, and in the spirit of affirmative action, we have Ramon and Cadillac are your two pilots. They've never flown before, but they are black.
Jesus, how condescendingly awful. At this point in time, because, you know, this is audio from a video, I'm looking at his ugly mug and his festering gob as this goes down, as he utters this poison. There is no argument other than stone cold racism. And you think he didn't get this gig from a dark money mega donor because he's a white guy? Of course he did. At this point in time, he should just do his show in a Klan robe with the pointy hat, you know, the ones they have where the face isn't fully covered. It reminds me of a joke I heard the other day. You know why Batman only masks half of his face? So the police will know he's white. Jack, you talking about the bell curve? Here's a link in a paragraph. 1994 book by psychologist Richard J. Hermstein and political scientist Charles Murray, in which the authors argue that human intelligence is substantially influenced by both inherited and environmental factors, and it is a better predictor of many personal outcomes, including financial income, job performance, birth out of wedlock, and involvement in crime, than are an individual's parental socioeconomic status. Yeah, because dirt poor people get into Harvard all the time. They also argue that those with high intelligence, the cognitive elite, are becoming separated from those of average and below average intelligence, and that this separation is a source of social division within the United States. In other words, pure racist bullshit. You know, even Thomas Jefferson, in his theory of public education, said that the best education should always be reserved for the moneyed white boys, no matter their intelligence. Yeah, he, of course, having gone to William and Mary, which is older than Harvard. On the other hand, Jefferson did also say that we will rake the rubbish. Those were his words. Rake the rubbish and find the best boys and give them not as quite as good an education so that they could go back into society and be teachers. But certainly not run a plantation or write a constitution or a declaration of independence. That was reserved for the moneyed elite white boys who shuffled around the White House in their dressing gown and their slippers and spoke in a thin, high, reedy voice. Thanks, Irish Dave. I appreciate that. There's my Star Trek episode. You know what, Steve? You're not wrong. Little Face in Dick Tracy. Doesn't Charlie Kirk look like him? Well, yeah, and Little Face looks a little like Nitwit Nero, too. Well, there's only a few more seconds of this poisonous bilge to deal with. Let's finish it off.
Sheila Jackson Lee would be like, forget it, I'm off this plane. She would jump like, I ain't flying here. They don't believe it.
Oh, I love it when Charlie does blackface voice, don't you?
Yeah, Andrew, but Ramon and Cadillac did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. And they're black. Who cares? I don't care the color of the skin of the pilot. I care, are you there because you earned it?
No, he cares. He cares. I promise you, he cares. A lot. Yeah, go away. Tiny face. Steve, I'm never going to be able to unsee that now. Imagine accusing the former First Lady of the United States of stealing. That's the word he used. She stole a seat from some poor, deserving white boy. Okay, Emilio, maybe Thomas Jefferson had a high, reedy voice because he was actually three kids in a trench coat. I'm a little less hesitant about that cowbell. No protest there. Yeah, thank you, Ralphs. Ralphs just got us down to 12:15, so we are $15 away from having Last Friday fully funded. Thank you, Ralphs. And thanks for that little piece of science reading, Dave. I'll get at that after the program. Okay, we've got it all sorted out now. The Cage, says Lee in New York. The Menagerie is the original series two-part where they watch The Cage on the court-martial view screen. You were not wrong. Okay, that makes a little more sense. Thank you, Lee. Flavio says, the late Stephen Jay Gould demolished the bell curve as part of the history of scientific racism in The Mismeasure of Man, 1981. So he pre-demolished it because the bell curve came out in 1994. And by the way, thank you, Flavio. Flavio, earlier, they would eat his lunch if he had lunch to eat. That was good. That was really good, says Flavio. And from the God, we desperately need a giggle from time to time. Lee sent this along earlier today. I love The Onion. I guess that marks me as something, but I love The Onion. Florida teachers explain how they teach history without mentioning race. In order to win approval from Florida's Department of Education, publishers have begun removing mentions of race from social studies textbook. The Onion asked teachers how they teach history without race, and this is what they said. I say MLK was a person who organized a nonspecific group against another nonspecific group for nonspecific reasons, and that's why he's one of the greatest Americans to ever live. It's pretty easy if you just skip 70% of everything that's ever happened in this country. Oh, that's a good one. Turning the lights off and putting my head down on the desk for 45 minutes usually does the trick. I just focus on all the aspects of history that don't have any significance. I play loud music to drown out my lectures on the civil rights movement. I try to really focus on June 21st, 1825 in Oslo, which was by all accounts a very chill day. Yes. I just substitute the word pickles for slavery, though now all my students ask me why pickles were our nation's greatest sin. For civil rights, I say Martin Luther King was white and was assassinated for not eating his vegetables.
Oh.
That's dark. That's actually been pretty easy, says another teacher, but trying to teach trigonometry without mentioning race is damn near impossible. I guess I'd say poorly and in a manner completely unworthy of my profession. Oh. A teacher allegedly named Owen Resnick. These are all just made-up names. I don't remember. Usually pretty drunk. Another guy says, it's easy. Nothing is about race. It's all about the economy. Oh, you know who that's a reference to. I homeschool my kids, and I must say this really will hurt the lessons on who controls all the banks.
Hmm.
Oh, that's a call back to the Nazi homeschoolers in Ohio. God, the onion's good sometimes. A fake teacher by the name of Stacy Tamascus says, I just avoid any historical event that isn't the 2000 Sydney Olympics. By not mentioning race, I can speed through all the remaining history topics in about a week. After that, I just tell the kids they don't have to come to class. Every time one of my students tries to ask a question regarding race, I blow an air horn. I just skip all of American history. I wish that didn't, and that's the problem with the Onion. It all too often rings terribly, terribly true. As to the framers, Jeremy says, they all hated each other. The only binding tie was their hate for kings and queens. I don't know. Have you seen how they dressed? I think they were pretty fond of queens. Yes, you're right, Lee. The Onion does deserve a cowbell. I couldn't agree more. Oh, this feels like it's going to be a busy one. And since we seem to be working a theme here, let's go down to Texas. There's a judge in Waco. Not surprised, there's a great big Baptist university there. I know a cute boy who graduated from there. Never mind. Oh, okay. Explaining Stephen Jay Gould, Flavio says, criticism by Stephen Jay Gould. He wrote that the entire argument of the authors of The Bell Curve rests on four unsupported and mostly false assumptions about intelligence. Intelligence must be reducible to a single number. Intelligence must be capable of a rank ordering people in a linear order. Intelligence must be primarily genetically based. And intelligence must be essentially immutable. Yet there's a hang-up among these right-wing, and almost all of them are fixated on some degree, some level of hatred. And the immutability argument is central to all of them. Let me use myself as an example. You'll never change your chromosomes. Well, they don't know what my chromosomes are, and frankly, I don't either. And my chromosomes are not integral to my ability to live my life on a daily basis. Or the old, tried and true, and entirely obnoxious, God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Sorry, Steve. I'm so glad your partner's name is not Adam. I gotta tell you, Steve, I just am. Although that would also be pretty damn cute and wholesome, too. Wrong! Meet Adam. I'm Steve. The immutability. Black people can never stop being black, and their blackness is what's keeping them behind, because they just can't keep up with the white people. You know, as the white people are working hammer and tongs to make sure that people of color don't catch up or keep up. Stephen Jay Gould was a freaking genius. Now back to Waco. There's a judge in Waco. Her name is Diane Hensley. And back in 2019, she got warned. I mean, this is Texas. I'm kind of surprised. Back in 2019, the Texas State Commission on Judicial Conduct issued her a warning, a public warning, for her refusal to perform same-sex marriages. And she has been butthurt over it ever since. Because she says she has a deeply held religious belief about the gays not getting married. But the problem there is she's a judge, and she is not a judge as in Old Testament Book of Judges judge. She is a judge in a decidedly civil context that is without reference to religion. But she wants to make religion part of her job, even though it isn't. So she recently submitted a brief. Thank you, most pious and dread sovereign supreme Catholic majesties. Based on the 303 creative case, and it was creative. It was so creative. They created a gay couple customer out of whole cloth that never even existed. And after the Texas Commission publicly warned her, she sued them and said that they substantially burdened the free exercise of my religion with no compelling justification. And so she got one of those free lawyers from one of those tax-exempt grifts. In this case, it's the First Liberty Institute. And they're out of Plano, Texas. They're also balls deep in palling around with suspended and also for quite a while now indicted Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. So previously the Texas appeals court said, shut the fuck up. And bounced the case, but after the 303 creative decision came out, the Supreme Court there in Texas said it's going to hear arguments on whether to let her lawsuit live. And I've just got a question. How far are we going to let these religious lulus, these nut jobs, these maniacs, these freaks, these goons go? Let's say that Texas has a right, the Texas Supreme Court says that this homophobic twit has a right not to perform same-sex marriages. Does she then get to put on her door, no, that word that begins with F and ends in T, marriages? Does she get to openly slur people? Because it's pretty slurring to say, my God tells me to discriminate against you in a ceremony that is entirely and totally civil. Oh, shit. Sorry for the oh, shit podcast, y'all. Power that. Hey, Robin, where'd you go? See, I was cruising merrily along. This really does break my concentration into a million tiny pieces. I was cruising merrily along, talking about this disgusting homophobic maniac judge in Texas, Diane Hensley. And how, thanks to the 303 creative decision, she thinks that she now has license as a judge in Waco, Texas, to refuse to marry the queers. And it really... See, a lot of people don't get... There's not... When a same-sex couple wants to get married... In a place like Texas, there aren't that many divines who are willing to marry them in their churches. So a lot of the times they seek out a judge. And so Diane Hensley says that, you know, she wants to be accorded the same status as a divine, as some gospel sharp. And then... I heard the peal, the roll of distant thunder, and whoop, there went the power, there went the internet. The power came back. The internet did not. The power was back in a matter of a couple of minutes because Appalachian power is upgrading. Yeah. Because Flavio asked, what happened? All of a sudden, I'm listening to a really old program from the early W. Bush administration. That far back? Brother Deacon, you went into the deep vault for that. But that's where I went. Yes, I pressed the record button. Thank you, Brother Deacon. I appreciate the check-in. We were listening to 7 November 2005. Dear God, we hadn't even been on air for a full month. Texas T said, one minute I'm listening to Robin, and the next minute I'm listening to an entirely different Robin. So, you know, if I'm ever in the middle of a live program, understand it is not my practice to just say, screw it, in the middle of a sentence, and get up and walk out of the room and quit. You know, I'm not the Bill O'Reilly, fuck it, we'll do it live type. I don't even know if there's anybody listening at this point. I've talked at length over the years about how crummy, how absolutely god-awful crummy the power infrastructure is where I live, and how utterly and completely and totally sucky Appalachian power is. That's what you get with clean coal-fried electricity. See, thunderstorms don't take out wind turbines. Thunderstorms don't take out solar panels. But God's favorite fuel is coal. So when I just boop and I'm gone in mid-sentence, you can assume... Because it's not really an assumption, it's a guaranteed fact that Appalachian Power has done me in, or Chantel has done me in. Somebody's done me in terms of getting the program out. It's not like they're going to come through the door or anything, at least I hope not. But that's where I went. And I'm completely at sea at this point. Let's be done with this sickening bigot in Texas. and move on to something equally stupid because it is Thorn in the Side Thursday. Thank you, Billable Rick. We're still here, Robin. We were listening to Zombie Bob. Is he related to Michael Myers? Quit that. But that's about a half a cowbell. Jesus. Well, somebody's on the stress line saving me while I try to gather my wits back together. Yeah, hey, welcome to the program.
All right, let's try that again. You sound very unmotivated and very, very unenthusiastic.
Yeah, well, I mean, you gotta admit it breaks the flow. Because we had a really, I felt like I had I feel like I had a really good program going on. Say what?
You had some fire going on. You did. And then I was on a call. And I switched back, and then we got. Not just Bob, but we got time travel Bob. I was like, who is this? I was like, I think it's Bob. No. I go, damn. Bob is about 20 years from that version of Bob. The voice was, everything was different. The way you put words, and I've heard time vault Bob, and no, it was actually disconcerting. I thought you were playing somebody else's show, and I was waiting for the hook. I really did.
Oh, that was me. That was so far back, Jerry. That was back in the day when we thought we were actually going to wind up on the radio.
That's crazy. All of that's crazy. Oh, wait a second. Let me stop the crowd there for a second. Hey, I just started my remote job, and it's actually kind of cool, but I don't have any money yet. So I'm going to count on you people there. You right there who just looked up from your Amazon Kindle. You over there cooking dinner. You playing with the puppy. You, I don't know what you're doing over there, but cut it out. I can see you. Whatever it is you're doing, call Robin. Kick in a couple of bucks. It's July. Damn it. All right. I love my new remote job, but it is really weird. I'm realizing how much I really like the sociability of work. So I miss that. But it's turning into better customer contact, which that's kind of nice. But that's not the reason I called in today.
No.
How's my setup sound?
You sound great so far.
Wired headphones. Fuck Bluetooth. Any true audio person, that's their response.
Yeah. Well, but I also sorted out a technical problem that I think was interfering previously, and we've had good luck ever since.
Well, I have a theory, and I don't think it's a theory. I think that two Bluetooth systems, they start building up latencies, and it just sounds like crap. One of you have to be on the wire, basically. My old man talk there, but that's not why I called. I was online with someone, and they threw out a water temperature, and I jumped off the top rope, and I said, "Bullshit! That is a science fiction water temperature. There's no way where I go." I said 10 degrees below, but not that. So I checked, and I saw 95 degrees in Baca Cut.
Ow.
Baca Cut is where Marathon is, the 7 mile bridge. I've never felt so much existential dread in my life.
Really?
Pandemic, hurricanes, civil unrest, monetary crisis, war. I have never felt more existential dread than Gulf waters being 95 degrees in July.
Wow.
There's never been 95. At 91 is where we all fucking panic, okay? 88 is hurricane generation. 95? And they said it's 95 to 6,000 feet.
Wow.
Yeah. Everything we talk about on this show is important. as if it's as mundane as what kind of barbecue dress. But the first thing that ever attracted me to your show, Old Bob, was your fierce love of the environment.
Hasn't changed.
As the kids
still
say, when I heard, as the kids say, when I heard that, I was like, I fuck this guy. Or, and now gal, as we move along. But, because I always wondered what people who lived in the hills and mined coal and did things like that, I was making a joke about a coal miner a couple weeks ago. I'll bring it up another time, if not later. What they thought, and you were the voice of that. This shit sucks. We're setting the planet on. I was like, oh, that's the proper response. And my love for your show and the foreign congregation grew from that. Then we got to the politics, and that was it. Took my shoes off, put my hat down, and appeasing my people. The point is, we're also going to be the voice of climate change. At 95 degrees, if you go hoax or if you go mad at this, I'm going to smack you. Because the only reason we're not running like a fucking Star Trek movie back and forth on the screen running for our lives is because there are no actresses. As soon as we get a fucking thunderstorm, it's going to turn into a Category 5. And we have this ring, this almost 100-degree ring all around the peninsula of Florida.
100-degree rain. I mean...
Ring,
yes.
Yeah, just think about the whole peninsula. It's not, okay, that 100 degrees is hyperbole. But being that the water temperature is 80, since I've been here, since I've been a 10-year-old, it's been ranged from 77, the highest I've ever seen in my life. And that was 2005, I think. And we hit 95 when the world hit that mark of hottest day ever. So, and it's been hot as fuck the last 6 weeks. But I prayed for hurricanes this year to destroy DeSantis, but it's kind of like an amputation, a violent amputation. Because a lot of people are going to get hurt. We just had, I made a joke, farmers insurance, they've seen a thing or two and they got the fuck out of here. but yeah. And then you have the sea of gold or too woke. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you people? That's your answer? What are you, too woke? You want a roof now?
Oh, wait a minute. What are you, so woke you want a roof?
That's where we're at. That was his answer. You're like, this is a, 8-year-old you. We all know who the one you're talking about. The one that was terrified first, who went, tell me one day, everything's going to be okay. We're going to know what's going on. All right. 8-year-old me is screaming right now, going, is that the answer a man who's supposed to be in charge of these things actually gave in a state you live in? It's like hearing a ocean liner guy forgot to fill it up with gas. Oh, we're out of gas. Holy shit. Whew, what are we going to do? That's your answer. Farmers Insurance is a major insurance carrier. Oh, they're too woke. Jesus Christ.
You know, if climate change is part of wokeness, Monkey Up is going to have a real problem because the insurance industry, being as how it's kind of in their bailiwick, their backyard, because insurance companies don't become filthy rich insurance companies by paying claims. They get filthy rich by taking money in and saying, we don't pay. And the storms we're getting now have the power to utterly destroy whole sectors of the insurance industry.
I told people a category 5 is organic.
And when you think about the amount of assets that they have, the cash on hand that they have, that's a scale of financial damage that's almost impossible to contemplate. And yet here we are.
No one can cover a category 5 strike.
And they've known But they've known about the dangers of climate change, and they haven't been shy about talking about it. And Ron Monkey Up DeSantis screaming at them that they're woke. Those dudes have, those companies have enough money to buy Ron Monkey Up DeSantis for what he thinks he's worth, sell him for what he's really worth, and never count the loss. And they know climate change is real because they pay for it. You know what would be really hilarious, Jerry? If some of these insurance companies jumped on board these lawsuits against the oil companies for lying about the reality of climate change.
That would be a flat fight I'd pay to watch.
Damn right. Sign me up for the pay-per-view.
I would watch that in a black jacket and a tie and have that gourmet popcorn. I would. That would be, man, they would shiv each other in the hall. Just, ooh. We could throw the tobacco executives and the Sacker Corporation there, too, as the early car. I got no fucks to give today, Robin. I really don't. I really, 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 really don't. I read something about the DEA trying to re-regulate Delta 8, and I was like, oh, okay, well, why don't you guys fucking find some fentanyl? Seriously. Find some of that, do something. Take it, wash it, do whatever it is the fuck you do. I can't think of an... If the DEA was, if the NASA was as bad as DEA, they'd be running the Navy. That's the best way I can put it. And the world would be a danger.
Yeah?
I was gonna thread and I said, you know, all those people at the border who go, what do they call them? The horde? Whatever name they gave them. I go, the reason they're here is because of the DEA. I was online, I said, and people were like, what? I go, you fucking empowered the worst fucking gang down there to run shit, you know, so you can keep an eye on shit. And then they start killing everybody. They got this whole wave of violence in South America. We did this. We've been doing this the last 20 years. And when you factor in our corporations making them grow monocrops instead of subsistence, you know, farming like they were doing, that's why they're all here. So, and I'm active on there's a UK thread as well because they're all jumping up and down about Brexit. And I'm like, look, empires don't get fucking shit to say about immigration. Shut the fuck up about that. Oh, you're here? Welcome. Yeah, that should be the end.
Yeah.
Because you betray the whole act of being an empire. Okay? If you have a base in 160 countries, or if you had a navy that, you know, the sun never set on the English Empire, then when these fucking people show up to fucking put in a window or paint a fucking roof, shut the fuck up. Between America and England, they've been squeezing the planet for 300 years. And now they're going to cry about immigration? Really? Shut the entire hell up.
But you see, it's because they're... It used to be that Republicans, Jerry, could pose a... You know, they could mount a credible campaign. You know, back when the Republicans were conservative and constantly worried about money. As I've said a million times before, there are people in this world I expect to be Republicans. I expect bank presidents to be Republicans. Because it's, you know, the Republican Party used to be the money party. The wealth party.
They were into money.
But all of that seems to be by the boards now, doesn't it?
It's worse than that.
And they love it. They love them some cheap labor, and there's no labor cheaper than immigrant labor. This country was built on the backs of immigrants and enslaved people. Am I wrong?
It's worse than that. Who made a joke? Like, somebody made a joke And it was a right wing radio guy listening. He's a Cuban right wing though. He doesn't want to hang anybody up in a tree. And he was even making fun of Ron DeSantis. He had soft support for him, but he's starting to bitch about him, which I can tell the tide is changing. He was going, you got rid of all the immigrants? Because it's not that people, it's not Florida don't care. They got shit going on. You know, and they hear about stuff Tallahassee does a month later. And he goes, everybody can get a gun now? He goes, Ron DeSantis don't know. And he goes, I came to this country and saw this. That Americans haven't done those jobs in 200 years. He goes, I came here and I watched the Big Valley. I almost lost that. He goes, even in Big Valley, they weren't washing their dishes. They weren't washing their clothes. They had some little guy do it. And I'm like, he's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. Americans haven't done these jobs in 200 years. Am I wrong?
No, you're not. By the way, we had a couple of notes from Matt in San Francisco. First one said, subject line, compensation. I need to be compensated for the trauma of being catapulted back to 2005. I think my neck's going to be sore for a week. I have a feeling that's going to be something that I hear more about. But on the subject of insurance, Matt, with a very solid question. So when you can't insure your home, how long before the bank demands payment in full for your mortgage? Or what often happens is they will put on forced coverage, which is brutally expensive. But in a place like where you are, Jerry, if there's no insurers there, there's no forced coverage to put on. Is there?
This whole thing, it just came out, and I kind of knew it until I saw the numbers, that our inflation is 9 to 10%. So, you dumbass, you want to make, you know, Florida America or America Florida? I don't think anybody wants that. You guys, fuck, I really don't. But the point I was going back to, and we'll get back to insurance. You remember Network, right?
Yes. I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. Yes.
I put up the Ned Beatty clip because I was like, this makes even more sense, because I was talking about what Disney represents to Florida. I go, no, Disney is not us. Disney's a force of nature. And then I remembered that Network clip. And I imagine Ron DeSantis coming into the little boardroom, sitting down with Ned Beatty. And Ned Beatty, you know, telling him where the bear shits, basically. And it's the same kind, you know, Disney is not a company. It's a fucking, it's a government.
It's an empire.
Yeah, it really is.
Let me add something in regard to that, because Disney just extended Bob Iger's contract for another 4 years, and that happened on the same day that the SAG-AFTRA, the Screen Actors Guild, Association of Film, Television, Radio Artists, out in California, went on strike, voted to strike. They have not struck. Am I really about to say striked? They have not struck alongside the Writers Guild in 60 years. So you get an idea that it's pretty damn bad. And the working and living conditions of the people in the Writers Guild and in SAG-AFTRA can get pretty atrocious. I was talking with Tracy earlier. Let's say hi, Tracy. Hi, Tracy. And she was telling me that,
hey, Tracy,
in L.A., if you want to live in L.A., a simple one-room studio apartment is going to cost you $2,000 a month. For people who are making $400 a week.
You know how much that apartment costs at Isla Mirada or Key West?
How much?
In Isla Mirada, it would be 18 to 22, and Key West would be $3,000.
Well, I think, but two grand was the floor, Jerry. I mean, I had a...
No. Two grand is the floor in the Keys. In fact, $2,000 is considered affordable. Actually, $800,000 is considered affordable housing in the Keys. I shit you not. A property that is eight, that's what they build.
Must be good housing,
which is why everything's fucked up. No, there's nothing. No, that's not affordable.
But anyway, the point that I was making is that Bob Iger said that the demands being made by SAG-AFTRA members are unrealistic. Now, this guy's got enough money to burn a sopping wet herd of sopping wet elephants with sopping wet $100 bills. If they still made $1,000.
It's not the money, it's the precedent.
Well, it's the precedent. Yeah, sure.
I understand. You know what? I think Disney's running this race. Holy shit, I just thought about it. Because what the writers are striking about is streaming income, which is totally legit.
Yeah.
I think that's totally legitimate. As a property bounces from streaming site to streaming site to streaming site, the original rights holders, well, they make the money on it. But the people who actually made it, the writers, unless they have a back-end deal, they don't get shit. So all they're looking for is a back-end deal at this point. And Hollywood's saying, we're just fucking shut the whole thing down. The writers are right.
And so are the actors. And so are the actors.
Isn't that the legal word, in perpetuity? That's what they get paid in perpetuity. Why not the writers? And the actors. And the voice artists.
The words you're looking for are residuals.
Yes, residual. When they move from property to property to property. That's it. They get paid once. Which sounds cool, but it's really shitty. They're the only ones who are not getting the fruits of their labor. They get to pick the tree once. Well, the tree's there, and the tree blooms for another 100 years. That's pretty accurate, isn't it, Robin?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. People go, why doesn't Eddie Murphy do stand-up anymore? And I've said, because Eddie Murphy wakes up on Monday morning, and he looks at his cell phone, and he's still getting Shrek texts.
Yeah.
But that's Eddie Murphy.
You mentioned Eddie Murphy, and that brought someone else to mind. I was really proud of Megan Rapinoe, you know, the veteran superstar of U.S. women's soccer.
Soccer superstar, yes.
Oh, God, she's amazing. She came after Dave Chappelle.
Wow.
And no holds barred. She said, I don't want to mince words about it. Dave Chappelle making jokes about trans people directly leads to violence, whether it's verbal or otherwise, against trans people. When Martina Navratilova or Sage or whoever are talking about this, people aren't hearing it just in the context of elite sports. They're saying, the rest of my life, this is how I'm going to treat trans people. But she wasn't done. She said, it's particularly frustrating when women's sports is weaponized. Oh, now we care about fairness? Now we care about women's sports? That's total bullshit. And show me all the trans people who are nefariously taking advantage of being trans in sports. It's just not happening. And they asked her, well, would you be okay if there was a trans woman on the U.S. national women's soccer team? She said, absolutely. You're taking a real woman's place. That's part of the argument that's still extremely transphobic. I see trans women as real women.
You know,
hero,
she's hero. You know what? I was squishy on Dave Chappelle because I've loved Dave Chappelle from forever. But he gave people the right to be assholes, even though he wasn't directly. He gave people the right to be. He opened up the door on that shit when he could have been. That could have went another way, and it would have still been funny. It would have still been funny. But he made a business decision.
Yeah, because as I said last night, there's a big dollar in it. You know, Megan Rapinoe is not going to make a big dollar off of standing up for people who are practically defenseless.
Shit, he cashed out. He cashed in. Sold out. He fucking sold out. Because the courageous thing, because I watched the special. There was a moment, there was a 15-second moment that could have went completely different. And we're having a completely different conversation. But he chased the laughs instead of the social justice parts. And I think a proper comedian should get the funny in there, but there's social justice should always be what, you know, that's part of why you're there. That make sense?
Yeah. I mean, nobody...
It was comedians like Lenny Bruce who helped the civil rights movement happened because he spoke out about it. He had some jokes. You know, he had his pee-pee jokes as well, you know. But he said a couple of things between the laughs. And Dave Chappelle had that moment. He ran the fuck away. And he made a joke. And then the gates of hell were open. Then Rogan did his thing, and all of a sudden, this was like, what, 18 months ago? A year ago? About a year ago. And then we are here. And that was the moment. Because we were all waiting to see what Dave said. I remember we were all on the collective edge of our subconscious couches. Then it went another way. Then all of a sudden it was cool to be me and the trans people. It was then, and then fucking, this was like last August or something like that, Ron DeSantis went on this whole, woke jihad, practicing his woke food. Trying to get woke food trends. I think that's funny. Anyways, have you been on the new thread yet?
Yeah, I don't necessarily, I mean, I'm not in love, but it's...
I just saw how, and this was something I was talking about months ago, and I hate when I say shit because I'm right. I really hate being right. Facebook fucking gave us so many texts, and they just tweeted on it about abortion. Did you read that?
No.
Yeah. They had abortion at like 25 weeks with the pills, and state attorney extracted the messenger, which I won't even allow messenger to run on my phone. I've always felt that way about Meta products. And, you know, if there's anybody in the world who could put up a fight against that shit, it's Facebook. And it said, nah, here you go. The mom's going to jail. So, when I was talking about abortion medications and hormones, both injectable and oral, and hormones for both sides, and birth control pills, which there's a new birth control pill out today.
Yes, the first ever over-the-counter, no prescription needed, yes. And I'm sure that the maggots are having a fit, and they're probably already planning a lawsuit with that godforsaken, what's his name, Kaczynski, the maggot asshole down in Texas, to try to block it all over the United States.
I was going, if you had a website, because I thought this before this happened, I go, it can't be on anything Meta, because Meta will scrape all your communications. You can't even advertise it on Meta. I don't think you can advertise it on Google either. I really don't. Because Google's doing some shit as well. You would have to, this was in my mind, you would have to host your own encrypted messaging app or do it from an encrypted messaging app. That's the only way. Because in my service, I thought about telemedicine, you know, having a consultation with a nurse or a practitioner as well, just to check up on you. And this seems like a really good, a better idea as the days go on. It sucks that it's necessary. But in my mind, and I stopped thinking about it, I was like, well, fuck, man, encryption. Because if it's not encrypted, somebody's going to break open packets at some level, and everybody's going to jail. With malicious intent, you know, data buries everybody. It really does. There's nowhere to hide in court from IPs and text messages.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I just got a note from John in Central PA. Subject line, Dog the Bounty Hunter. Wow, it's been a while since we heard about that has-been. Dog the Bounty Hunter, a convicted murderer, has a gay daughter. His other daughter recently denounced his disgusting fascist threats against Dylan Mulvaney. I still think the attack on Dylan Mulvaney is a scandal that will live in infamy within the context of American history for years to come. Oh, yeah, and bless her little heart. She did it. She did it. Wow. A lot of noise there, Jerry. Bless her heart, Dylan Mulvaney went on and did an interview on CNN, a once great news operation, no more. And son of a gun, and what's her name? Anna Baldwin was live in the studio, and a reporter reporting on Dylan Mulvaney misgendered her, calling him he and him and his. And what's her name? Baldwin didn't do anything in real time, but today they issued a statement saying, "We're terribly sorry about misgendering Dylan Mulvaney. We try not to do that." Now, the time you do that is when you hear, but that goes to show you that she wasn't paying attention, and it didn't matter that much to her because it happened and she heard it in real time and just let it blow past. So, yeah, I hope John's right, and it's good to see that Dog the Bounty Hunter got called out by one of his own.
Well, it's just that, what do you call it? It's that old time religion is what it is. I know,
some of it perhaps, but some is just plain.
Church meeting was yesterday, but yeah, it's that old time religion. They're saying that, you know, well, God said to do that abomination, blah, 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 blah. Actually, the thing he was really insistent about was be nice.
Well, that was the Jesus side. Old, you know, nasty ass old Yahweh in the Old Testament did say.
Done it to me. I mean, it's pretty fucking simple.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, but they don't care about that.
Somebody shows up on your planet in the wrong body, let it go.
No, they don't care. Nice. No, Jerry, they don't care because they don't care about Matthew 25. They care about Genesis, what the fuck, or Leviticus, who gives a damn. Where it says, and a man shall not put on the raiment of a woman, and a woman shall not put on the raiment of a man, when they were all wearing dresses. How could they even tell?
Are you cutting out, or is it me?
No, I think that's you. But, you know, how could they tell? And so that's what they fix. Yeah, that's what they fixate on.
Hello?
Yeah. You're good.
No, it's you. You're still cutting.
No, I'm really not. I mean, I'm not buffering or anything. No, the connection is solid.
Yeah, it's like a packet wash.
I don't know. Maybe it's something between here and South Florida. What my buddy Ben Birch.
You there?
Yeah, I'm here. What my buddy Ben Birch refers to. What my buddy Ben Birch refers to as internet weather. And apparently it was Jerry. This stuff actually works these days. And don't mess with my head like that. Randy Radar says, Dog the Bounty Hunter was always going after some dangerous criminal without body armor. Curious. Well, that's because it was all a rube. It was a setup. It was reality TV. hell, the bounty, the guy he was hunting was probably getting paid to be hunted. Jesus. Oh, and we are still trying to get down to $1,200 fundraising wise. We're making a little headway. But we at $15 more will get us down to only $1,200. That is, $15 more bucks than last Friday is fully funded. I would love to not. I would love to end the show with last week fully funded. That would be super helpful. So, yeah, everything is good. Thank you, Randy Radar. Randy Radar says the connection is good. That's what I thought. Where else? I like this because I know it'll give, because he's written about this creep on a number of occasions. I know this will give Joey and Giraffrian Jr. and Joey 2 the Kangaroo a kick. Larry Householder is the former Speaker of the Ohio House of Representatives. He is, of course, a Republican, and he was recently convicted of basically being a mob boss. It was the largest bribery scheme in the history of the Buckeye State, and he has now appealed his 20-year prison sentence after only 2 weeks behind bars. Because his pettifoggers had the unmitigated gall to suggest that this man who ran the biggest bribery scheme in the history of Ohio should only get 12 to 18 months in the stir. But the DOJ, that's Merrick Garland's DOJ, wanted 16 to 20 years, and U.S. District Court Judge Tim Black said, "I'm giving you the whole 20, you little prick." Because there is not a moment's worth of remorse in anything you have done or said. Just as a reminder, this crook ginned up and ran a $60 million bribery scheme that a company that Joey used to work for, First Energy Corp of Akron, funded in secret. And the whole purpose of it, you know, $60 million is chump change to a First Energy Corp, somebody like First Energy Corp, because they have a captive customer base. And the whole purpose of the scam was to get his Republican majority to pass a $1.3 billion bailout for a bullshit nuclear plant. $60 million is pocket change. It's pocket lint when you're talking about $1.3 billion of taxpayer money. Householder and Republican Chair Matt Borges were each convicted. And they even, and some of the money went to running a rat fuckery campaign to stop a voter referendum to overturn the bailout. So Larry Householder has to live to 84 in order to see the outside of a prison. And so he filed a one-sentence appeal to the United States Court of Appeals that handles appeals in Ohio. One sentence. Probably guessing he doesn't have a lot of hope. And I hope every day, every minute, every second of those 20 years, he sits there in that federal penitentiary asking him, "Yeah, I had it pretty good. Never had it really good. Nice retirement. I was running the House of Representatives in Ohio. I was getting away with murder. I was fucking over women. I was living the dream." took the $60 million. And I ran an organized crime ring. Do you think? Nah, he doesn't have that much self-awareness, does he? He's probably going to sit there for 20 years.
That was the setup. That wasn't fair.
Goodbye, Larry. Remember Hello, Larry? This is Goodbye, Larry. And Kevin in Massachusetts reminded us of this yesterday as it was breaking. This is a stone-cold badass move by Merrick Garland and his Justice Department. I know we've been hard on him, but the Justice Department did, in fact, file an appeal of sentences imposed on Stewart, You'll Shoot Your Eye Out Kid, Bang, Rhodes, and others among the Oath Keepers. I mean, this is some brass, y'all. The Department of Justice filed a notice of appeal saying that 18 years in prison for Stewart Rhodes isn't enough, because it falls well beneath the guidelines for seditious conspiracy. Over at Politico, the senior legal affairs reporter Kyle Cheney said, DOJ is appealing the sentences imposed by Judge Mehta against the Oath Keepers convicted of seditious conspiracy or obstruction. Remember, it was Judge Amit Mehta who gave a walk to, what was his name, Beeks? Yeah, Beeks, who argued that the court had no jurisdiction over him. And he gave him a walk on every charge in a bench trial. But yeah, Kyle Cheney said all of the sentences, even Rhodes's, were well below what the sentencing guidelines called for. Because the government doesn't appeal sentences very often. But in this case, I think it is merited, don't you? In this case, being part of a full-on conspiracy to overturn constitutional governance in the United States, I mean, we call it seditious conspiracy, but y'all, that's the only crime that's actually defined in the Constitution of the United States, because that is treason. And to blink at treason is to make sure that there will be more treason. I hope they win. And when it goes up to our most puissant, dread sovereign, supreme Catholic majesties, we will learn a lot more about them. Well, we'll actually find out that what we have long suspected is in fact truth. Because Fappy Pubes on the Coke Can Thomas will, I'm sure, write an opinion that says that a little insurrection here, a little insurrection there, no biggie. Let him out. Let them out. And Sammy Alito will sign off on it. And maybe Neil Gorsuch. Maybe the handmaid. Maybe they will have a majority. Oh, well, thank you. I always appreciate that. Suman giving me a correction on the pronunciation of the judge's name. Just a gentle correction. Thank you for that. It's pronounced Metha. You seem to pronounce it as Meta. I didn't know what to do with the H. I didn't know if it was a H or... And I didn't know that it was a theta phantom H in there. Thank you. Amit Mehta. I will try to remember that. I appreciate it, Suman. Randy Radar, did you hear about how the House was trying to jail Matt Taibbi, the independent reporter? Taibbi exposed all of the government agencies and contractors who were in collusion with the social media companies who were scraping all of our info. I can see the security concerns, but how about actually making the society better instead of just piling on more security because the society is worse? We are the worst for social media, period. It is without a doubt the worst thing ever to happen, ever to happen to not just American culture, but culture worldwide. That's why China came up with TikTok. Because they don't let TikTok run rampant in China. And I'm sorry, Randy, but you're going to have to go a long way to convince me that Matt Taibbi was not just a useful idiot in this case. That's a term of art. He used to do good work, but he was spoon-fed information, and he treated it as breaking news when it may just have been agitprop. And now, as we move into the last half hour of the program, fingers crossed that the juice stays on, new information out of Georgia. And it will come as no surprise. And I don't even know if pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan, is listening. But I have it in my head that Georgia still has not taken the Medicaid expansion, leaving its working poor to fend themselves with no viable access to medical care. This is just so damn sad. A while back, the state of Georgia established, and by a while back, I mean 11 years ago, 2012, the state of Georgia established something called the Maternal Mortality Review Committee. Because they recognized that Georgia had a problem with pregnant women dying. Things like hemorrhage, mental health conditions, things like, you know, postpartum depression, cardiomyopathy, cardiovascular conditions, embolism, preeclampsia, eclampsia, all were among the leading causes of pregnancy-related death in mothers. And we've known for a long time, we don't talk about it, but there are parts of this country, and perhaps this country as a whole, as an average, the maternal death rate in the United States of America is higher than it is in Cuba. Because, you know, we were always so, you know, Cuba, 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 Castro, Castro, Castro. But a pregnant woman in Cuba has a better chance of surviving her pregnancy than a pregnant woman in a place like Georgia. So the report was released quietly on June 30th, but Tuesday they had a Board of Public Health meeting in Georgia. Because in the three-year period that includes the first year of the pandemic, so basically 2020, 2019, and 2018, if I'm reading that correctly, there were 30.2 deaths for every 100,000 live births in Georgia. That is a jump of 20% from the previous three-year period. In the previous three-year period, it was 25.1 deaths for every 100,000 live births. And you know who bears the brunt of this, right? black women in Georgia are twice as likely as white women to die from pregnancy-related causes. Who was it? Senator Ted Cassidy? No, Bill Cassidy from Louisianistan, who in the last year or so, rather than remaining silent and no one knowing whether he was a fool, decided to open his mouth and remove all doubt, said,
well, yeah, I mean, we got us some maternal mortality problems in America, but if you factor out the black women, it ain't so bad.
He really said that. And that is probably a position that is held by every maggot Republican in the state of Georgia, too. Because here's the thing. Those causes that I mentioned, the hemorrhage, mental health conditions, cardiomyopathy, cardiovascular conditions, embolism, preeclampsia, eclampsia. Well, the thing is, 85% of those maternal deaths were entirely, you know what the next word is, preventable. Preventable. Dr. Kathleen Toomey is the commissioner of the State Department of Public Health. In discussing the report, she said, although it seems daunting, I think we're setting that bar very high that this is preventable. It means that we're working with all aspects of the medical care system, the social services system, and community to address these issues collectively. I think that's how we'll have successful outcomes. Oh, doc, can we talk? You want successful outcomes, make sure that everybody in the state of Georgia, every mother-to-be, that every goddamn, godforsaken, miserable, son-of-a-bitch, Georgia maggot legislator says is so important.
Because the precious little fetuses.
I mean, once they're born, they don't really need a mother, right? Take the Medicaid expansion. Stop hemorrhaging doctors and healthcare workers by virtue of your stupid laws passed exclusively against women's bodies. And you'll see that number drop. I dare say the primary cause of maternal mortality in the United States of America is lack of access to appropriate and thorough prenatal care. And that's a big part of the idea that it is preventable. So, the chairman of the Board of Public Health, Dr. James Curran, said, yeah, hey, I'm just spitballing here, but what if we gave Medicaid coverage to women who are considered high risk before they get pregnant? He's the dean and professor of epidemiology at the Rollins School of Public Health at Emory University. That's going to go over like a Led Zeppelin among the maggots. Well, they'll probably channel their inner Joe Manchin and say, well, that'll just make them not appreciate what we're giving them. Yeah. And Curran went on and said, good surveillance and good analysis, that's really the conscience of public health. And the conscience has got to be honest. It can't be political, but it's got to be honest. Oh, Dr. Curran, welcome to Georgia. Stop with the crazy talk. Actually, it's not crazy talk. But the minute that Dr. Curran said good surveillance, pale, pasty, pink little ears perked up all over the Georgia legislature. Surveillance, surveillance. You know, that's what they done did to poor old President Trump. We can't have no surveillance. Next thing you know, they'll be wanting to keep medical records and shit like that around here. We can't have that, not in Georgia. Oh, no. Of course not. But Dr. Curran did get to the heart of the matter. He said, once you show people that something works, everybody will want to support it. And that's why they haven't taken the Medicaid expansion. Because once poor people in Georgia find out that they don't have to die of preventable illnesses, they will raise hell and they might even go to the polls and vote some shit-eating Republicans out of office. When they start trying to take it away. Jesus. The Medicaid expansion is set right now at 137% of the federal poverty limit. That is way too low. The federal poverty line is way too low. We were talking about California a little bit ago when I was talking to Scary Jerry and about the price of a studio apartment. City of Los Angeles recently established the poverty line there. Wait for this. If I understood Tracy correctly. $70,000. Because you cannot live above poverty in Los Angeles at under $70,000. And in Georgia... You know, see, people can get health care in California. The so-called working poor can get health care in California. But by accident of birth, if you're born in Georgia, you're fucked in Georgia. Kind of goes back to that Charles Murray bullshit we were talking about before the power went out, about how economics aren't nearly as important as uncontrollable genetic traits. Because, see... And Republicans love that shit because then they can say, well, they're just poor because they're poor. Oh, they got poor genes. You know, it's just the vilest form of Calvinism. And it's ugly, and it's deadly, and it's exactly what the Republicans want. And I've got something else here that I want to find. Because I've kind of had it around for a little while. Because Joe Manchin is terribly, terribly, terribly upset. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's so upset, Joe is. Because one of his precious fetish objects, well, it just hit a pothole. I'm talking about the Mountain Valley Pipeline. There's Joe. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit, sitting in Richmond on Monday, entered a temporary injunction against the construction of a chunk of the Mountain Valley Pipeline because it goes through the Jefferson National Forest. Ben Tettelbaum, director and senior staff attorney at the Wilderness Society, a good group, issued a statement saying, time and again, Mountain Valley has tried to force its dangerous pipeline through the Jefferson National Forest, devastating communities in its wake and racking up violations. We're grateful that the court has given those communities a measure of reprieve by hitting the brakes on construction across our public lands, sparing them from further irreversible damage while this important case proceeds. And like I said, this is an absolute fetish object for Joe to the mansion born. Coal broker. The single largest recipient in the entire Congress of the United States of big oil money. And the whole damn thing is designed to get filthy frac gas from West Virginia to the Atlantic coast, where it can be put on boats and sent somewhere else and not even benefit the United States of America or any of the people thereof. And Joe, well, Joe thought he finally pulled an end run because he sought as his price for his vote on Fiscal Responsibility Act of 2023, a little turd in the punch bowl called Section 324 that said that federal regulators had no discretion in approving every last one of the outstanding permits for the toxic, dangerous, and deadly Mountain Valley Pipeline. And Section 324 said only the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals had jurisdiction to hear challenges to the constitutionality of the provision. So last month, with Section 324 happily in hand, Mountain Valley Pipeline's pettifoggers ran off to the courts with a bunch of motions to dismiss lawsuits against the pipeline. The Wilderness Society, represented by the Southern Environmental Law Center, well, they filed a brief opposing the motions on the 26th of June and said Section 324 is unconstitutional because it violates the separation of powers. And then the Fourth Circuit stepped in and said, no, we're going to take this case. This is in our circuit. Virginia, West Virginia, Maryland, maybe North Carolina are all part of the Fourth United States Circuit Court. And Mountain Valley Pipeline's pettifoggers and spokes creeps immediately had a hissy, had kittens with crocheted tails.
This is not the court to hear that claim. Congress, in plain terms, gave the D.C. Circuit exclusive jurisdiction to hear such claims. Congress's message was crystal clear. If you want to challenge Section 324, you have to do so in the D.C. Circuit.
And then Joe Manchin started pouting. The little bitch he is. The law passed by Congress and signed by POTUS is clear. The Fourth Circuit no longer has jurisdiction over MVP's construction permits. This new order halting construction is unlawful, and regardless of your position on MVP, it should alarm every American when a court ignores the law. There's only one problem. Well, it's not a problem. It's actually probably a good thing. Joe's not a lawyer. And Joe wouldn't know Rita Mandamus from Rita Habeas Corpus. And the Southern Environmental Law Center, who have people who are a lot smarter than Joe Manchin, speaking on behalf of the Wilderness Society, said, defective approvals by the United States Forest Service and the Bureau of Land Management allowing the MVP to cross the Jefferson National Forest in Virginia and West Virginia. Well, that's what we're challenging. And those lawsuits predate Section 324. And that's what gives the Fourth Circuit jurisdiction. Asterisk, footnote one. Suck it, Joe. Chase Huntley's vice president of strategy and policy at the Wilderness Society 2 weeks ago, he said, Mountain Valley could not build their pipeline in compliance with the law, so they appealed to Congress to interfere with the courts, skirting both our legal system and Constitution. The MVP rider, buried in the Fiscal Responsibility Act, attempts to ram through the pipeline, forcing it onto communities who have spoken out against its devastating impacts for nearly a decade. Because bedrock environmental laws stood in the pipeline's path, Mountain Valley convinced Congress to reach beyond its powers and decide in Mountain Valley's favor, circumventing the courts. We're fighting to make sure our challenge to the Forest Service and Bureau of Land Management's approvals for the pipeline to cross Jefferson National Forest has its rightful day in court. The largest single financial interest among MVP stakeholders is some godforsaken outfit called Equitrans Midstream. And Tuesday morning, they decided to pout.
We're disappointed. Disappointed. We're not mad. We're disappointed. We're evaluating all legal options, which include filing an emergency appeal to the United States Supreme Court. Unless this decision is promptly reversed, it would jeopardize Mountain Valley's ability to complete construction by year-end 2023.
But if it is stopped, it will also jeopardize Mountain Valley Pipeline's ability to blow people up in their fucking beds. I know I'm crazy. I fall on the side of not murdering people for shareholder profits. Silly, silly, silly girl. Hysterical female. So that's the program. Thanks so much for getting us down to 1,200 even. Yay, all of last week is fully funded. Yay, thank you, Jude, and Women Standing. Jude said, for your ongoing ability to move the program along, especially when the 3 hours consists of your grounded voice and insight. Jude, that is so sweet, and I am so grateful. Thank you. We all are. Thank you so much. And thanks to all of you who keep this all going, our PayPal subscribers, our Patreon subscribers, our a la carte contributors, thank you. So tomorrow we can start working on funding this week. And tomorrow the funding goal will be for the entire week, this week. Maybe we can get caught up somewhere. That'll be wonderful. Helpful beyond expression. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Roger, in the chat room. Thank you so very much. Steve, if you're out there, thank you, too. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, please like and subscribe. Follow, love, comment on the program you're listening to. Please share it on social media. Expand the reach of this program. Take seconds. Just share the Podbean link that I put up. It's shareable. Please? Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Get your booster if you're eligible. Wear your mask when you're around the maggots. Ugh, they're dirty. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Carry some with you, pocket or purse. It's, you know, this is beyond avoiding COVID. This has just become good praxis in our modern reality. Keep your social distance. And if some former Speaker of the House in Ohio, if you're passing by a federal penitentiary and you hear somebody clanging a tin cup across the bars screaming, "Let me out! I was set up, you dirty screws!" Well, avoid that inmate like the plague, because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.